This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this another great episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern. And on today's show, I brought along with me some really great guests to talk about movies that we hate, that everyone else loves. And joining me today are two great returning guests. We have with us from the Asian Cinema Film Club, Stephen Palmer. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Back to you.
Hello. And also from Zobo with a Shotgun, and also a contributor to thatmomentin.com, Miss Zoe Rose Smith. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, very excited to have you guys back on our show again. Really appreciate it. So we're going to get into a topic here about movies that we hate that everyone else loves, all right? These are the movies that are either really popular with audiences or popular with critics that we think are just complete and total shit. Let's start with you, Zoe. What would be your number three movie that you absolutely hate that everyone else loves?
So, my number three movie, and I'm really quite terrified of saying it, actually, because I don't know how it's going to go down, but it seems like the right time to speak about it, is Halloween.
The new one or the original?
No, the original.
Oh.
The original.
Wow, so, bold words here. All right.
Yeah, so this could... You might never see me again after you put this out there, so you know what will have happened. I'm generally not a big slasher movie fan anyway. Never have been. Find them quite tedious, if I'm honest. And I find them very... samey. I don't think that they ever offer much in terms of plot. Some of them do, but most of them don't. For me, the original Halloween film was a film that I always felt like I had to watch because it was considered a classic. It was something that was obviously always spoken about when I first discovered horror films, and was, you know, anyone that I knew that liked horror films or had anything good to say about horror films recommended to watch Halloween as a very good starting point. And so, of course, I watched Halloween, and the first time I watched it, I was very underwhelmed. And then I thought that maybe it was time to revisit Halloween, just because, you know, I thought maybe I hadn't appreciated it for what it was. And yes, it has lots of merits to it. It's quite well made. It has a beautiful score. It obviously has Michael Myers, one of the most iconic horror characters, but I find it very boring. I don't particularly like the characters in the film at all. I don't feel anything when they're killed. And I really, really, really just don't like Laurie Strode as a main character. I really don't.
Okay, wow. So, like, for me, what really freaked me out about Halloween was that opening sequence. Because you see it within the killer's eyes. And then you found out that I was a 6-year-old boy, spoiler alert, for a 40-year-old movie. And I thought that really kind of brought me into the world of Halloween. Because, what the hell is going on here? Why is the kid killing people? And I like the fact that it never really explains anything. It's just this force. This moving force that just kills, and you don't know anything behind motives. I think too many times movies want to have a motive to them. But I'm curious why you don't like the Laurie Strode character. What did you find boring about this?
I just find her very bland and a character that I can't really resonate with. She's just got, for me, nothing particularly charismatic about her. I don't think it helps that I don't really like Jamie Lee Curtis as an actress.
Okay, fair enough, all right.
But she's not, I think she's an average actress. She's an actress. She acts, but I wouldn't say that she's anything outstanding. So I don't think that helps. I don't find Halloween scary. And I spoke to a friend about it the other day because she likes Halloween. And I said, I just find Michael Myers, he just walks and always catches up and then stabs them and walks some more and catches up and stabs them. And that's all that Halloween is to me. So, yeah.
I want you to put right there at the back of the DVD box art. Michael Myers walks, he stabs, he walks, he stabs, yeah. He walks, he stabs, he walks, he walks, stab, 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 walk, walk, walk.
Da, da, da.
I want to ask you, did you see the Rob Zombie Halloween?
And do you know what? So, I actually really like that version.
Wow.
Which is probably, yeah. So, that was on my one of films people like to hate that I love. That was going to be my one of my options. So, yeah, I guess when it comes to Halloween, I'm offending people everywhere.
That's fair. No, not offensive at all, right? That's the ball here. I don't know, Stephen, any thoughts about Zoe's hatred of Halloween?
Sorry, I was just unfollowing her on Twitter. No, I can get that. I mean, personally, I guess Halloween's kind of important to me because of my age, because I'm 47 years old. So Halloween, when it finally came out on video, was like, I mean, Halloween 3 was the first film I ever actually remember, horror film I remember watching, but Halloween was kind of important, and it was important enough for me to bring to my dissertation for my degree at university that I talked about Halloween. So, yeah, I really like Halloween, but then I like anything with Donald Pleasence in. I do hear what Zoe's saying. It's a very one-note thing. There isn't much to it, is there? It's just the night he came home and carried on going with his knife. But I am quite surprised because I do feel it's for me, it's a formative horror film. The slasher genre can be quite boring, but I think it's a superior example. But hey, that's the point of this show, right?
That's right. I recently did rewatch the original Halloween in theaters, and there were a bunch of kids younger, like around the age of like 19 and 20, who were still getting scared by that movie. And for a movie that's 40 years old that can still scare kids, I can understand that. But yeah, I see what you're saying too. It is a very kind of bland storyline, and nothing much really happens except you have one guy go around chasing people and killing them. So it's really kind of bland, especially with the amount of horror films that you have seen. I mean, you are definitely a horror expert, so I will definitely respect your opinion on that. Even though I disagree with it, I still respect it. All right, Steven, let's go with you, buddy. What's your number 3 movie that you hate that everyone else loves?
Okay, so in preparation for this, I went and rewatched this morning because I thought maybe it's just me. So this is a film which was critically lauded, critically acclaimed, great performances, blah, blah, blah. But the film I just don't get at all, and I do detest, is 2003 Sofia Coppola Lost in Translation.
You hurt me.
So, can you put your hand close your face, please?
I'm sorry, Naka, what?
Can you pick your hand close your face? Close your face.
I don't get that close to the glass until I'm on the floor, you know? How's this?
Yes. You want a whiskey?
This is not whiskey. This is iced tea. If you gave me real whiskey.
I need mysterious face. Tension is mysterious. Mysterious.
I think I know what you want. You want this, right?
I need more mysterious and
more mysterious. Yeah, I'll just try to think. Where the hell's a whiskey? Yeah.
You cut me deep.
Which I thought I might, because it is a film lover's film. But I watched it again this morning, thinking, well, maybe I was too immature back in 2003, 2004. Maybe I didn't know enough about the world and relationships and emotions. And it's just a bunch of boring and present company accepted navel-gazing, self-obsessed Americans wandering around in one of the great cities of the world, not having a good time. And not only that, it's incredibly racist towards Japanese people. It trots out every single stereotype possible. There are saving graces. You know, Bill Murray's very good, and there's little bits of comedy which are amusing. But really, it's a pretty bland, nothing film that actually I found quite offensive when I watched it again.
I actually enjoyed that movie when I first saw it, and I liked Bill Murray's performance in it very much. The whole sequence where he's having a hard time translating the scene with the translator to the director, I think is just good classic comedy. Even when he has the hooker come over to his house, I thought that was good classic. I like the chemistry between him and Johansson. They have this really good unspoken friendship bond. I always thought it was about two people who seemed kind of lost in their world, and they come together and form a friendship. And I do enjoy it. I enjoyed Lance Corr's cinematography. I guess I don't understand the racism angle, because I don't think they were being. I thought they were just kind of just filming
things. It kind of picks at every sort of modern stereotypical trope of a Japanese person you can get. All the Japanese characters in there are sort of heightened stereotypes of, they're wacky and they're wild. There are elements of it where it's much more respectful. There's a couple of moments with more traditional, so you see like the Buddhist monks, and I think there's like a traditional wedding that happens part of the way through that Scarlett Johansson observes, and they're treated with much more respect. But everyone else is just like this either crazy, wacky Japanese youth, someone to laugh at how they're talking.
The only person I thought that was wacky was, Scarlett Johansson's character's friend Charlie. He's the only wacky one that I've seen in the movie, but I don't really see.
Surrounded by them, and that was the other thing. So Scarlett Johansson is either she's really lonely, and she's not obviously having doubts about the man she's married, so she's hanging around a hotel room. Except she's got hundreds of friends all over Tokyo that she's actually hanging out. There seems just to be, I don't know, I just didn't quite get it. And I just cannot connect with that movie at all, even though I like all the principal characters. I like lots of stuff that Sofia Coppola's done. Obviously, I love Japan and Tokyo. It just didn't all come together for me for a package.
I don't think this is my favorite Sofia Coppola movie. That would probably be Marie Antoinette. But yeah, I still have a kind of a soft spot in that movie because it opens with Star Joe's ass on the opening credits, and that's always a great way to start up a movie, in my opinion. Just big giant butt on the screen right there. That's just movie of the year. That's right. Academy Award nominee movie. With a butt at opening credits, alright. Yes. Alright, very cool. Any thoughts about Lost in Translation, Zoe? Do you agree, disagree?
The last time I saw it was quite a while ago now. I'd probably need to rewatch it to say whether I agree or not. I remember liking it, but not being wowed by it. Because at the time, I think everyone was like, oh my God, it's amazing, you know, love story. And I think I remember watching it and being like, yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's a good movie. So I would have to rewatch to let you know fully, but I feel like I probably agree with you on that one.
Gotcha. Very good, very good. All right, so on to my list here. And most movies I picked are kind of newer movies, actually. And maybe this may change out throughout the years there. But I'm going to go with it right now. My number three, it was a Best Picture winner. I think it was of 2000, I think it was. 2001, 2000. I know it was the 2000s there. I'm going to do Ridley Scott's Gladiator. I'm picking this movie because I think it's very well acted. I think the sets are great, but every time I watch this movie, I always fall asleep. through parts of it. Always. I always just doze off in it. And then when I wake up, they're at the big arena fight, and that's all I really see is just that. I kind of miss the whole, the evolution of how Russell Crowe's character gets there, and I get irritated myself, and then I have to restart it again, and I really don't want to. And like I said before, it's been 3 times I've watched this movie, and I like the acting. Joaquin Phoenix is good as being the bad guy, but I just can never, ever finish this movie. And that's why it's on my number 3. I don't know if you guys disagree with me, agree with me on this.
I think I'd have to disagree with you on that one. I love Gladiator, and I think it's one of my dad's favorite movies, and also one of my boyfriend's favorite movies. So I also feel like if I didn't like it, I might be disowned by everyone around me and have nowhere to live anymore. But no, I really like it. And the music is done by Hans Zimmer, who I love everything he composes for, basically. So I do like this movie, and I have a soft spot for anything that has lots of men fighting in. So I have to love it.
Gotcha. Well, did you see this in theaters when it came out?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Because I have a feeling that if I saw this in theaters, because since it is such a grand epic movie and bits get right there, I probably might enjoy this a little bit more. So I'm hoping that maybe there'll be like a Phasm event where they'll put this back on the big screen and I can maybe give it a proper watch. But it's got to be like those D-Bot seats that will shake.
I feel like maybe in the cinema it might have more of an impact, because it's quite... I mean, I can also see why you would fall asleep in parts, because it's a lengthy film anyway, so you know, you have to have some patience for it. But it's also, you know, it's not super... I mean, you either like it or you don't like it. So I think in the cinema it might have more of an impact. But I rewatched it maybe like a month ago, and I still loved it.
All right, we're fair enough there. I don't know, Steven, any thoughts on about Gladiator? And are you deleting me right now from your accounts?
No, I'm no fan of Gladiator, but not in a hate it kind of way. I just find it's 2.5 hours long, and something's really got to grab me to let me sit there for 2.5 hours watching it. And there's too much I don't like about it. You know, it's a bit, I just find it's a bit pantomime, isn't it? Joaquin Phoenix is a bit pantomime. Russell Crowe's channeling is in a, the fella that's actually in it, Oliver Reed, and Oliver Reed's in it as well. And Richard Harris, it's just a whole bunch of overacty people in it. And, but it's, if I just treat it as popcorn entertainment, it's fine. But it's not a film I'd hunt out and go and see if it was back in the cinema again.
All right. Fair enough here. Now we're up to our number 2s. And let's see how much more Zoe can piss us off. What's your number 2, Zoe?
I think my number 2, I think maybe it's not going to piss you off too much. Okay. I'm going to leave the number 1 to probably, the worst. So number 2, I had a few different options, but I've decided to go for The Neon Demon, another horror standard. I'm going for The Neon Demon.
Dean, we're having a little debate over here, and we need your expertise.
Okay.
You know Gigi, right?
Well, I mean, we just met.
Wait, will you stand up so that he can take a look at you? Go on, stand.
Well, what?
What do you think? Do you think she's beautiful?
I don't know. I mean, I guess she's fine.
Yes, that's exactly the word that I was looking for. She's fine, right? You can sit down now, thanks. Thank you, Dean. Now, look at Jesse. Nothing fake. Nothing false. A diamond in a sea of glass. True beauty is the highest currency we have. Now, without it, she would be nothing.
I think you're wrong.
Excuse me?
I said, I think you're wrong.
So are you gonna tell me that it's what's inside that counts?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think.
Well, I think that if she wasn't beautiful, you wouldn't have even stopped to look.
I just watched this again last night.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
you're two for 2 years, Zoe.
I just wanted to offend you guys. That was what my plan was, really.
Okay. I love it. All right.
I really hate this film a lot. I remember when it came out, I was really excited for it. The trailer looked incredible. Everyone that I knew that had seen a screener was like, oh my God, this is, you know, this film is amazing. It's beautiful. The acting is incredible. It's everything you're going to love in a horror film. Everyone I knew recommended it to me. So obviously I was like, yes. So I sat down one night on my own and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. I think it was about 30 minutes in that I was like, oh fuck. I was like, is this the movie? I didn't know whether I'd chosen the right movie and or if I was watching the wrong thing. It just drags and drags and drags and drags. I mean, it looks absolutely incredible. Everything about the aesthetics are beautiful. They're so vibrant, it's so enticing. But then, and I understand that what Nicholas Winding Refn was trying to do with the film was to present something that was skin deep, that obviously mimics the meaning within the film, which is obviously a very clever thing to do. And that's great. But as an audience that's watching it, it also means that you have to sit through, like, you know, an hour and a half of nothing. Just girls in bathrooms being like, oh, where did you get your lipstick from? And I'm like, this is horrible. And I think I fell asleep. So then I tried to watch the rest of it the day after. And I managed to watch the rest of it and agreed the ending of it is good. It's a good ending, but it takes a while to get there. It really does. And I just found it so tedious. So very tedious.
You know, I think it's wrong for anyone to recommend this as a horror film.
Yes.
Especially to you, I would never have said that. I don't think I would even recommend this movie to you and say, oh, this is such a ghastly horror film. Yeah, it's got a great ending sequence, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a horror film. I just like the movie because it does go batshit crazy near the end right there, and I love the look of it. A lot of what people said they hate about this movie, the fact that it's slow moving, it's just beautiful shots, is what I just really kind of enjoy about this. To me, it's just this really odd fable about the fashion industry. And I find it to be a lot of fun to look at. I love the score. I love the look of it. I love Keanu Reeves playing this creepy motel manager. I think Elle Fanning does a good job in her role. I can totally understand everyone that does not get this movie because it is very slow moving and true, a lot of things don't happen. I have been reading upon some analysis of the movie and people saying that it was about a coven of witches who went to devour this young girl. And you can actually see clues of them doing this girl from the very start. See, I thought the ending was something that just happened, like, randomly. But if I go back and look at additional scenes, especially, I forgot her name right now, but the three models, them talking with each other, they were planning this from the start, that they were going to devour this girl. And I kind of like going back and seeing that. But I don't blame you at all for hating this movie, Zoe. I really don't. I'm not mad at you for hating this one. I understand. I still enjoy it. Like I said, I watched it last night. I don't know, Steven, have you seen The Neon Demon?
No, I'm going to channel my inner Kim Lowe, and so I've never seen this.
Okay.
I mean, I quite like slow-moving movies as a rule, and it does sound a bit like a Bret Easton Ellis novel. You know, it's all about the vapid emptiness of some West Coast American culture. But Zoe has done a good job and made me think whether I want to see it at all.
Oh, fair enough there. This one does play a lot more like Nicholas Winton reference, Only God Forgives. So it definitely has that same type of slow-moving story element to it, though, than his previous efforts like Bronson and Drive. This is more of the very artistic style of his movies, and if you're into that type of thing here, I recommended it for people who enjoy like Terrence Malick movies, and then gosh, there's another slow movie director, maybe The Walkabout by Nicholas Roeg. Just some of that's like a lot of like great beautiful shots, and the storyline is in there, but it's very kind of vague. Alright, so that was her number two, The Neon Demon. Steven, what is your number two, good buddy?
Okay, so I've got about five here, and I'm juggling up as we talk about it. I'm going to talk about a fairly recent film. I think one of you will agree with me, and one of you will disagree with me, of the film I'm about to choose. So we've had some strong horror movies, so we will be able to tell you, sort of mainstream horror movies in the last couple of years, things like Get Out, things like Hereditary. I don't know if you like or dislike them, but I think they were really strong, really interesting, did something new with the genre. And in between those two came another film which got all the plaudits. This is amazing. This is fantastic. This is a game changer. This is the best thing since sliced bread. And then I saw A Quiet Place and I thought, what's all the fuss about?
Steven, oh my gosh, wow. Holy shit.
Because it's a perfectly serviceable movie, so I'm judging it against the hype, yeah? If it was just released straight to DVD and the cast was a little less famous, it would be perfectly serviceable. But for a film that's about quiet, it's the noisiest fucking film I've ever seen. The score is just in your ears all the time. And yeah, I think I'm rebelling against the hype rather than the actual quality of the movie. But I did not think it was, I don't think it lived up to its title at all.
It sets up too many cliché tropes. There's a sequence where you see a nail sticking out from the floorboard of a step, and it focuses on that, so you know it's going to come into play. But it keeps going back to that, like, hey, remember that nail? It's there. I was mostly irritated by this movie because of the characters. I was really pissed off at the parents, especially at the beginning of the movie. They take that train away from their son, and I'm going to do some spoilers here. They take the train away from the son because of the noise they make, and then the daughter gives the batteries back to the kid, knowing full well that there's these monsters that go out and want to kill people. So that little daughter killed her brother, because she knows, alright? And I know people are saying that, well, she's deaf. True, she is deaf, but her parents would still tell her that batteries make noises, so you can't have anything with noises, otherwise a big giant scary monster will come up and eat you. Let me calm down my rants here, alright? And then after their son gets killed the first like 5 minutes of the movie, the parents decide to go ahead and have another kid, alright? Now, you may tell me that it's because
that's just the most fucking ridiculous thing of it all, isn't it? About having another kid.
I mean, pretty soon, like, right afterwards, couldn't you at least find a way to maybe stop the demons first of all, like, or at least contain them in some ways before you start popping other babies out? I mean,
And it had signs-itis, where the way to stop them was by noise, wasn't it? Which is like, really? No one else worked that out?
Yeah.
It was like a bit like, you know, in like Shalaman's Signs, where it's water, and you think, well, that's a bit stupid then to come to a planet full of water. A planet full of radio waves and noise, and no one in the world worked it out? No.
I will say this, though. In the movie's defense, I actually really liked the last 2 minutes of the movie where Emily Blunt gets all loaded up and they're like, all right, motherfuckers, let's get going. I'm like, yeah, now we got a movie here. It's like, oh, it's over. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I needed that at least 30 minutes earlier. It's a shame because it's got a really good cast. It's got a really, you know, it's got a fairly interesting premise. I just don't think it executed it very well. I thought it was great that the girl was really deaf. You know, I think things like that are really important. But I just thought it just didn't live up to any hype at all. And it was far less than it was made out to be. So we, of course, loved it.
I did. But I also agree with you on a lot of your points. I do agree that it was overhyped. But that's basically nearly every film that's released, especially horror films, because people are like, ah! They see one monster and it's the most terrifying thing in the world. I think I loved A Quiet Place so much because I loved the premise of it. I thought it was something that hadn't been done before. And even though there were a lot of kind of tropes that have been used in other films, the general gist of it hadn't quite been done in other films, and like you mentioned, even I also really liked that they made a film considering a deaf actor. I think that's something that more films should work towards, is kind of inclusion of other, you know, actors and actresses, and also thinking about how things like that could actually impact you if you were in a situation like the one presented in the film. But I do agree that considering it was a movie about silence, I also thought, fuck, they're a pretty loud family. You know, there was quite a few times when they're making a lot of noise. There was noise in the film. The music was very loud. Lots of different things like that. Also, as you guys mentioned, having a baby, I mean, do you maybe not think, like, to use protection or be a bit more careful? Like, it's like when you watch zombie movies and they're like, oh, someone's pregnant. I'm like, did you ever just think not to have sex for 5 minutes without protection when there's zombies that are going to eat your child? Like, I don't think I would ever be in the mood in that situation. Like, you know, or I would at least try to think it through. But I think one of the other things that made me love this film so much, which is obviously completely on a personal level, is it was the first horror movie my younger brother had seen in the cinema. So he's now, when we went to see it, he would have been 16 or 17, and he's got learning difficulties, so he's slightly younger than he comes across, and it scared the shit out of him. And I just loved watching him whilst watching the movie, because he kept just looking at me with his eyes like, oh my god, this is horrifying. You know, because it's very tense at times, and there's also, because of the silence, I think he was there, like, he was also trying to be really silent, and he's a very loud person. So I think that for me made it far more enjoyable, because I got to watch it through his eyes, which was very fun for me as an older sister.
that is fun to do, to watch people getting scared, especially your older, younger siblings there. Now, Zoe, have you seen the movie Don't Breathe?
Yes, I don't like it.
You don't like that one? Okay, I thought that one had kind of a similar kind of concept as A Quiet Place. And I thought that one was better executed, in my opinion there. I thought that one was a little bit better flipped. And it wasn't so much the technical direction of John Krasinski, because it was a very good premise. It's just mainly the decisions the characters make that made me not like that movie. Damn, Steven, you stole my number one, so I've got to now think of another number one.
I do apologize.
That's all right. No, I've got a list here. All right, well, I'll get to my number two. My number two is a movie that I think most of you will probably agree with me on this one here. I think it came out in 2007. I'm going to do Michael Bay's Transformers. Yes, this is a movie that got... Now, back to the 80s, huge fan of Transformers show, the movie. So when I found out that they're going to do a live-action movie, I got excited. When I found out it was from the guy who did, like, Armageddon at the time and Bad Boys, I'm like, all right, that would be kind of a nice little stop for it, though. And then I watched the movie, sat down in theaters, and I had no idea what the hell was going on. There was just shaky cameras everywhere. And I'm like, hey, what am I looking at here? Wait, is that a Transformer? What? No, stop. Camera, stop moving. Please. All right, please. Fuck. That was my reaction when I was watching Transformers. Like, wait, what's going on here? Wait, who am I focusing on now? Wait, is that a Decepticon or an Autobot? Who's fighting who here? What? No, stop. Don't go into a bad joke right now. Just, please, I want to see this action sequence here. But, fuck! Yeah. That was the conversation going on in my head as I was watching Transformers, because I had no idea what was going on. All I know is that the only thing I got from the movie was that Shia LaBeouf, and he wants to get a car to impress this girl, Megan Fox, and then the car is a robot. In fact, the beginning of the movie kind of could set it up as being a remake of Christine, but actually Bumblebee is actually a good person. And then Autobots come down, and then there's Decepticon, and there's all about this orb that they have to try and get back. Just very one-note characters, and I just hated everything about this movie. When I got over, I remember standing outside in the lobby, and my friends were like, hey, that was pretty good. Oh, that was great. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? The movie sucked. And I only watched the second movie, and that one sucked even worse than the first one. Because I still don't know what the hell the stories are in these movies. I really don't know, alright? I'm just so irritated that these movies still make money, because I have no clue. Wait, what do people enjoy about this? Because you can't really see the robots. You can't. Sorry.
No, bravo, sir. I mean, like you, I mean, I guess it might be a guy thing, but, you know, growing up, I fucking love Transformers. I love the cartoons. I love the toys. I love the comic books. I was so freaking excited for this film. I was overlooking the Michael Bay aspect because, you know, maybe I hadn't formed the opinions I had now. I was really thrilled. And that noisy lump of shit appeared on the screen. I have no idea what was going on. I can't tell the difference between the robots. I can't tell who's who. You can't tell what's going on when they're fighting. You can't, you know, the visual thing about they turning into vehicles and stuff like that, you wouldn't know from when they're in robot form, because they all look the fucking same and then turn into things. And then they made four sequels, is it? And I see they're making a Bumblebee film, and they're all exponentially worse than each other. They make billions all around the world. You know, it's obviously in the Asian film stuff I look at. I look to see what's number one in the Chinese box office and stuff like that. And it's always a fucking Transformers film. I'm just thinking, has he managed to make some sort of film that transcends language? Because it certainly transcends sense. And that they frankly make me angry, because he's shit on a childhood pleasure. Now, I understand that Transformers might not be for everyone, but everyone seems to be going to see it and not stopping it happening.
I will say in the in Bumblebee's defense, they have a brand new director, the guy who directed Kubo and the Two Strings, to do that one, and that one feels like more of a throwback to the original, you know, the ones that we grew up on here. So I really,
I can only hope
it's got Soundwave, and
yeah, oh well, okay.
They put Soundwave, and his chest opens up, and a cassette flies out, and it turns into a, you know, I guess a dog, like a robot dog.
That's what we want. I want to feel the child-friendly nature of it, or if it is about giant robots turning into cars and jet fighters and trains and stuff. I'm even into the Dinobots, mate, but they managed to ruin that later on. Anyway, I'll stop ranting.
I have not seen that one with the robots. Is that the one with Mark Wahlberg in there? I know Mark Wahlberg comes in the sequels.
Yeah, he's in the latest ones.
Yeah, he's in the third or the fourth one. And then there's another one with Anthony Hopkins in it that's all does Excalibur kind of stuff. Oh, I don't.
Oh, God, is that, they have like a lot of good actors in there. I think Frances McDormand was in one.
Yeah.
John Turturro's another one.
Yeah, obviously, they pay very well.
Yeah.
And I think Sir Anthony Hopkins has said something along those lines. But, oh, my word. I just the way that they keep being so phenomenally successful, I just find beggars belief.
And I dare anyone to tell me, what are the stories about? Just is there a clear, concise storyline? What goes on in these movies? Because I really...
No idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's robots fighting robots, right?
Yeah, but have you seen...
fighting robots and other robots.
Have you seen the original animated Transformers the movie? Yeah. I'm sure Vern's like me.
I have.
I cried at that.
I did too.
There was an emotional element to that that transcended it being a silly animated film. Again, it had an amazing cast, didn't it? A voice cast. But, you know, that was... It's not the greatest animated film of all time, but it's got a story and it's got an emotional heft to it. These films have none of that.
Yeah, very much there. All right, I don't know, Zoe, I didn't hear your thoughts about Transformers. I know you're kind of quiet there. Are you a lover of this movie?
No, it's trash.
Okay, all right, fair enough, all right.
Yeah, it's trash. I agree with you guys. And me and my boyfriend have a running joke that pretty much everything Michael Bay makes is trash and explosions, so that's what Transformers is.
All right. Fair enough. Well, now my nephew hates me forever now because that's his favorite movie of all time. Actually, no, I think the last one was his favorite. Whatever recent Transformers movie's out, that's his favorite, all right? But he's 12, so I can't give him any shit for that. Well, let's do this, folks, right now. We need to take a small break to play ads from some other great podcast shows that you should definitely check out. And then we'll be back with our number ones, all right?
We'll return after these messages.
Hi, everyone. This is Tim Costa.
I'm Hermano da Silva.
And this is Walter Vinci.
And together, we are the First Time Watchers Podcast.
Each week, we choose a movie to review that none of us has seen.
Watch it together.
And then discuss.
These movies could be new.
Or old.
Or on our list of shame.
You can find us on iTunes by searching for the First Time Watchers Podcast.
As well as on Stitcher.
And we love interacting with our listeners, so if you have any suggestions, send us a tweet.
An email.
Or post to our Facebook page.
We'd love to hear from you.
That's right. I mean, it's all about interaction.
And talk about what we love. Movies.
And you don't have to worry about us going on and on about this and that and the other. And oh, look, let's talk about this minutiae here.
Shut up.
And I wonder who the gaff I can watch.
God damn it, shut up.
I think that's enough, Walter.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. And we are now down to our number ones, all right? So I'm a little afraid to ask you about the Zoe. I am. Because so far you put two movies that I actually quite enjoyed. So I think I'm going to be either pleasantly surprised or, you know, I'm just going to just have you say what your number one is. And we'll see if we're still friends, all right?
Okay. So, I'm going to go for... It's not a particular movie. It's just all of the movies. Because I feel like I need to rant a bit about it. Because sometimes I just go off at work about it. And I work with an office full of girls who only really want to talk about, like, Gucci handbags and... a highlighter, and I know nothing about those things, so I thought I would rant to some people that maybe understand my language. So the films that I hate the most in the world that I think should just be banned from existing are any superhero movies in the world. All of them, every single one of them. I hate
everyone.
Every super no, that's a lie. The only superhero movies I like are the Dark Knight films, and everything else I hate, but it's mainly the Marvel ones. I think they're... I just don't understand how... I mean, I know there's a lot of backstory to all the characters, and I know they're very popular for a long time. Everything to do with the superheroes and Marvel. It's more Marvel than DC, in my opinion. But the problem for me is it's all the same, really, is you have a character who has superpowers, who comes up against a baddie, and who always wins. Of course, the guy with superpowers, who's the goodie? The baddie will never win. The baddie never wins. Even in, like, Avengers Assemble, they add more baddies and more goodies, and of course, the goodies always win. That's the thing that frustrates me the most with the Marvel films, is every time I will try to give them another chance and I'm like, okay, let's do this, I'm sure it's going to be something different, it's just the same. It's always the goodie that always seems to win, and I feel like they're so predictable in the way that they present themselves that it just really disappoints me. I mean, some of the ones that I hated the most were the Captain America films. I actively decided that I would sleep after 10 minutes in. I decided there was no point. Yeah, and I know a lot of people love them, and I can see why. I can, because they're fun in many ways, and superheroes are fun, and they have a lot of great things about them. And I mean, especially for children, I think, you know, superhero movies are great, because it's kind of something cool that you can look at, and they always battle the monsters, which is, you know, like a nice learning point. But for me, I don't know, they just don't offer me anything, and I think they're just always the same. Like I said, the baddie never ever wins. He seems to be always defeated. So why would I want to go and watch another one of a superhero that just has a different suit and a different power, but he's going to win again all the time? So yeah, I don't like them.
I can understand that, because I agree, a lot of them do play the same tropes over and over again. I do think that in Captain America Winter Soldier, it's a little bit different, because that's one of Captain America's best friend, and he wants to try and help save him from there. I think he actually does try and help him escape in Civil War, and I think Civil War is kind of good, because you got good guys fighting good guys in that one. It is kind of a whole superhero fighting superheroes elements in there. Yeah, I can't fault you at all for your thoughts on these. I've kind of stopped watching Marvel movies, and I only checked a few of them. The last good one I saw was Thor Ragnarok, because that felt like a 1980s canon version of a Marvel movie, and it's got Jeff Goldblum, it's got some great jokes. Yes, it is about the superheroes fighting the bad guys, and it's the same trope as you're talking about, but I still heavily enjoy that movie because it is funny to watch. It's fun to watch the jokes with Thor and Hulk. I think I like watching these movies not so much of them fighting the bad guys. It's just the chemistry the characters have with each other. And yeah, it's cliche movie watching, but sometimes I don't mind that as long as I have interesting characters to watch them do it. And so that's why I will probably will rewatch. That's why I like watching the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, because it brings me back to reading those comic books. And so I kind of enjoy that. Yes, it's going to be cliche. Yes, the heroes are going to defeat the bad guys, but it's how they do it that makes it enjoyable for me, because it just kind of brings me back to my childhood in a way. But yeah, I completely understand that if you're not a fan of reading comic books and you watch his movies and you're like, oh geez, another good guy to fight a bad guy again. Come on now, there's gotta be something more than this. Can we have like maybe a little twist and turns here? So yeah, no, I can't really fault you on that at all. But even though I still heavily enjoy those flicks. What's the worst one you've seen? You said which Captain America? Was it just all the Captain America movies, or?
I don't know which one it was. It could have been the first one or the second one. I remember them being, I mean, that's the thing to me. All the superhero movies, they kind of just melt into one thing. I think it was, there was a man with a red skull face in it.
That was the first one.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That one was quite bad. And then, was it Superman versus Batman? The one where Wonder Woman was introduced.
Yep. Batman. Batman versus Superman. The Justice one. Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, I actually saw that IMAX because my boyfriend, again, quite likes those movies. So I went and I was like, this is the worst. And I was like, and you know, no, just, oh, I hate them so much. They make me annoyed.
I tend to like Marvel movies a little bit more than DC, but I like DC animated movies even more than Marvel, if I go that route.
I really liked the Dark Knight series, but I think that was because for me it's different. I see it slightly different to the others because Batman's not really a superhero. Yeah. He's just kind of a man with money. So it's different, and also he's kind of not a goodie. So I think that's what I like. Whereas the others, you know, like Superman is just, he's like, da-da, here it is. Yeah, it's too cheesy and just very, very simple.
Fair enough there. Steven, any thoughts on Zoe?
Yeah, do you remember last time you had Zoe and I on together, we debated Mother. And I think we struggled to debate each other because actually we were sort of half agreeing with each other's opinion all the time. And actually, other things that we've done, Zoe and I seem to have quite a consistent taste in a lot of things, don't we? Other than your more extreme love. On this, I have to fucking disagree, respectfully. Finally, there's something I can argue with you about. No, I mean, I'm a huge comic book nerd. I have been since I was a kid. Sort of reprints over here in the UK, and I was like basically reading 60s stuff in the 80s, and comic books have been really important to me. And I waited in a lifetime, literally, for a good comic book movie to come out because they were pretty freaking dreadful. And then Iron Man came out and it changed everything for me. Now, I do agree the vast majority of them are very samey, certainly in the Marvel world. They lack good villains, but the actual characters, the stories, seeing the stories that I used to read come to life and change. And then you get ones like Thor Ragnarok or maybe Ant-Man, or maybe to a degree Wonder Woman, that are on a level above to me. There's still some shit ones, but broadly, I love them. However, there are three I cannot fucking stand. And they are fucking the Dark Knight trilogy.
Wow.
Which was going to be my number one choice, but I'm cheating and going to stick it in here because they all... I love Christopher Nolan, don't get me wrong, but those three films are fucking boring, dreadful. They're inspired by Frank Bloody Miller, who ruined the Batman character for me back in The Dark Knight and in...
What?
In year one.
Oh.
They created a version of Batman that everyone has used ever since. And fucking Christian Bale and his Batman, voice rubbish. And I've fallen asleep in two of the three films at the cinema, even though they're all noisy and gravelly. They make no fucking sense. Heath Ledger's brilliant in the second one. I'll give you that. But the Batman himself is just nothing. Don't even get me started on the latest Batman films because they're even worse. But that Dark Knight trilogy is always put up on a pedestal. It's superior. And I think they're dreadful, and they get worse. So I'm the opposite to Zoe in this case, and I somehow feel validated that I am.
Oh, I've got to disagree with you on that whole Dark Knight trilogy. I actually really kind of enjoy the one. I've enjoyed the third one more than the second one. I think the second one, the only thing that's good about that is Heath Ledger's performance. But I thought number three had a good storyline with there. I actually really kind of enjoyed those flicks. But I get what you say about them. They are way too long. I think they could easily cut them back. But to me, they feel like kind of like plays in a way.
I just like my superhero films to be fun. And all the fun is drained out of those three films, other than Tom Hardy in the last one, who's having a whale of a time with one of the worst characters to ever come out of DC Comics in Bane.
Okay.
Just on that, I guess I would just say that I know a lot of people don't like those movies, but I guess my love is shown when I saw the second movie six times in the cinema in 1 week, and it's like 3 hours long.
That's determination there. But we all know that the Dark Knight series is going to pale when Aquaman comes out. When Aquaman comes out, that will be the new standard of superhero movies. We all know that. Don't lie.
Yeah, because James Wan's got such a...
Yes.
Such a history in that kind of movie, right?
Yep. See, I'm telling you, it's going to be the new trilogy. We're going to see Aquaman trilogy as just being the pedestal of great superhero films. Yes.
And sarcasm mode off.
What? Come on now. All right, well, since we talked about... I feel like you're getting another pick here, all right? But seriously, Steven, what is your... number one? We talked about Zoe's hatred of Marvel comic book movies. What is your number one?
I've still got so many, but I'll push some of them back. I guess we'll have a close ones. I'm going to go for one which will get me kicked out of any cult film and sci-fi fans club and say Blade Runner. I do not understand the love of any of the 7 or 9 versions of that film which exist. I get the visuals, that sort of neo-noir Hong Kong-y thing, even though I have seen it in other animated movies sort of contemporaneously with it. It's boring. It's pretentious. I certainly wasn't inspired to see the belated sequel last year? Everyone loves it, and everyone's got their favourite version of it, and everyone's got something to say about it. And I just think it's a really dull, nasal-gazing sci-fi movie that has never done anything for me.
Ouch, Steven. I actually do love Blade Runner a lot, actually. I do watch the movie. I have all five cuts of the movie, and yes, I do watch each cut depending on my mood of when I want to watch it. I like the theatrical cut because it's a throwback to noir films, and it's all done in the future with robots. Or sometimes I just want to watch the final cut that proves that Deckard is a replicant. I love the aesthetic of it. I love the dialogue. I understand how people do not like this movie. It is slow. The trailers basically sell it as an action movie. It is not that way at all. But I just like the environment of it. I mean, I actually want to live in that world. I would totally like be happy to have a jazzy electron store happening when I walk outside the door. Everything done in raid and neons. Yeah, I completely respect anyone that's, you know, doesn't like this movie because it's very slow moving. It's really kind of hard to get into the characters in this, but I absolutely just find the whole aesthetic of it just kind of pleasing. I like just popping on this movie sometimes just to relax with it and just get involved with it. And to me, it's kind of a nice little mystery movie, and I just kind of enjoy that aspect of it. Yeah, but that's just me. I always have a place in my heart for this movie and the five different versions. Here's a cool story. I had friends of mine that live here who hate Blade Runner, hate it with a passion, and then they rented Blade Runner 2049, and they're like, that is much better. That is a way better movie. So just take that for what it is, because it is a completely different storyline than Blade Runner.
I'm still not going to see it.
Okay. Fair enough, okay. I'm just letting him know that people that have hated Blade Runner like the sequel.
I think the thing is a Blade Runner, I think it's got some really interesting things to say, and it's a movie that's far more interesting to talk about than to watch.
That's a good point. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where I am with it.
Okay, fair enough there. I do think the book is way better than the movies. So if you get a chance to read the book, I would recommend doing that because it does go into more themes about what it is like to be human and the differences. Because in the book, Rick Deckard is really seen as more of an asshole than in the movie. And I think they flesh out the replicant characters more in the book than they do in the movie. And yeah, it's also got kind of a nice little twist to his character there, which I actually really kind of enjoy. Alright. Any thoughts about Blade Runner, Zoe?
I actually agree with Stephen on this one. I have
Norton service resumed.
I'd never seen it, and I watched it last year before going to see the new one, and I was like, because, again, my boyfriend is a massively into sci-fi and was like, Blade Runner, Blade Runner, Blade Runner. And I watched it and I was like, oh, I was like, okay, that was, yeah, Blade Runner. Also, Harrison Ford is so bland in that film. It's like, yeah, his face doesn't move once. He's just
because bland. He's a robot.
Oh, I know, but he's, you know, just so bland. But I preferred the new one.
Yeah.
I preferred that one. I enjoyed it. It's kind of bland as well. It's got the same kind of blandness to it, but I preferred it. Out of all the blands, that one was nicer.
All right, fair enough. It was less bland than it was. All right, fair enough there. Alright, well, shit, I gotta go into my number one movie now. And I don't know if I should say this, though, because I don't hate this movie. I just don't really enjoy watching them. And I have seen both the theatrical and the original cuts of the movie. I'm gonna go with it, though. This is gonna get me kicked out of a lot of film lovers' lists. I gotta go with the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I can't do this, Sam.
I know. It's so wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? There's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
That was my other alternate choice. So we're at like one again.
Okay, all right. All right.
If we get kicked out, we'll have each other, Vern.
That's right. I just find this movie to be very dull, and I understand the point of the story, and I just really don't care. And I really don't find any motivations of the character except for just trying to get this ring to Mordor. That's all I know about. Alright, I don't know about if they're doing this. I know they're doing this to help protect their kingdom, but I want there to be something more. Like, if he doesn't do this though, his girlfriend's gonna get hurt. Just the whole thing of just saving the world is just a very dull and basic storyline, and I want there to be something more there. I think the acting is great. I think the set designs are amazing. But I'm actually kind of pissed off because these movies stopped Peter Jackson from going into other stories that he could have told. Like, I think personally my favorite Peter Jackson movie is Heavenly Creatures. And
yeah, I agree.
I wanted him, after he did Lord of the Rings, I'm like, alright, that's cool. And then he did the Hobbit movies. I'm like, God damn it. And now he's doing this Mortal Engines movie. So I think he's only just producing that. But he's just sticking with this fantasy element. And I want him to go back to doing horror films again. Or doing different stories, alright? I don't want him just to do these safe pictures again. I would love for Peter Jackson to do another, like, Bad Taste. Or Meet the Feebles. Or, Dead Alive. I want him to get back into something a little more down and dirty, or him doing like a low budget film again. And these movies, just everyone now just associates Peter Jackson with just Lord of the Rings. And I actually have seen these in theaters when they came out. I have seen the alternate, the director's cut, the extended editions, because everyone said those were so much better. And I'm like, oh great, now you're going to tack on another hour to a movie that I thought was already long before. Yeah, I can totally understand why people enjoy these films, because they are adventure stories, and if you're fans of the books, I can totally get why you like this. And maybe it's me, because fantasy has never been one of my favorite movies to watch. I think the only fantasy movie I enjoyed watching is The Princess Bride, but fantasy has never been one of my go-to genres to watch. So I think Lord of the Rings is just overly long. I think the one that won the Best Picture is probably my least favorite. the only character I relate to this movie is Gollum, because I liked his whole split personality dynamics there. I like that. So there's elements of these movies that I really love, but as a whole, it's just, I don't know if I can actually sit through them again.
Yeah, I agree completely. I'm not a huge fan of this. I did read these books when I was a kid, actually, but it wasn't something I was waiting for seeing on screen. For me, fantasy tends to work better in prose. Obviously, with CGI and special effects, you can realise these things a lot better now. But by all means, realise them. But my God, I know people who've got these three films in their extended versions, and they will spend the weekend watching all three back to back, and are just, I can't think of anything. Well, I can think of a lot of things worse, but I can't think of much cinematically worse to spend something like 10 hours doing. It's horrible.
All right. Zoe's quiet, so she's putting us down her hate list or something. I don't know. What are your thoughts about these?
Not sure I'm going to hang out with you guys anymore.
Oh, I knew it also.
I live in a household where if I speak badly about Lord of the Rings, I genuinely will be found murdered very soon. I live in a household with lots of Lord of the Rings collector edition things that cost lots of money. So I can't say a bad word about it at all. Otherwise, I'm in the worst trouble of my life. But I like the films. I always liked the films. I mean, they came out when I was youngish, I believe. And I thought they were epic. I guess I'd never really watched anything that was like the Lord of the Rings films. And I also didn't ever get into fantasy much until I started playing World of Warcraft. I really liked them. I thought they were great. They're very epic in a sense. I also fell in love with Orlando Bloom's character Legolas, as I'm sure many girls did. And then I wanted to be an elf. I mean, I can see why lots of people don't like them, because I think fantasy is not the easiest genre to get into, and I don't particularly like a lot of other fantasy films, and I didn't finish the Hobbit films either. I didn't quite manage, I just was not that interested in them at the time, so I really don't, you know, I definitely see why you guys don't like them at all, because I know a lot of people that are like, oh my God, like, you know, I really don't like Harry Potter movies because I'm not into fantasy normally, nor am I a big fan of magic. But I think the Lord of the Rings trilogy is probably one of the only fantasy films that I like. And I think it's just because I find it fun. It is quite long, but they're the only ones I like. And again, like I said, if I say anything bad, I'm never going to be seen again. So I love them. They're awesome.
I just hope, Zoe, that none of the people in your house heard us talking bad about Lord of the Rings, because I'm sure your family would be like, you can't handle those people anymore.
I just muted you. You know, did. I was like, okay. Oh, that was the wrong trap.
Okay. For All right, well, that's most likely going to wrap up our episode. We're probably never going to talk to each other ever again after the show, but let's get to our plugs right now. Zoe, what do you have to plug?
So, over on my site, I've got a couple of new reviews of some nasty, gory, extreme horror films, the standard, including a short horror film I watched called Necro, which was 18 minutes that I wish I could erase from my mind. It made me actually vom a bit in my mouth, so that was fantastic. I also have a new article looking at boundary pushing film Cannibal Holocaust over on thatmomentin.com. So if you want to know my thoughts on that film, go over there. And then, as you all know, I'm gearing up to launch my own podcast in a couple of weeks, which I've set a deadline, and the deadline is October the 31st, and I've taken the day off work, so I'm making sure that everything goes to plan and I actually make it out there and it goes, and yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
What's the name of your podcast?
It's just Sobo with a Shotgun.
Okay.
I'll never change now.
No, that's great. I mean, are you going to be on like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher? I mean, where are we going to?
It's going to be on iTunes, as long as all my technical side is correct to the best of my knowledge, then yes, it should be on iTunes. But if you come over to Twitter, which is Zobo with Shotgun, then you'll find the link to everything you need there.
Okay, good. All right, I'm excited. I'm excited about that. Steven, I read your articles on the that short horror film Necro. And the one on Cannibal Holocaust, very good articles, and I recommend everyone to read those. Steven, what do you have going on there, buddy?
Okay, well, although Zoe and I won't be ever talking again, we are going to talk tomorrow night when we're recording another episode of the Asian Cinema Podcast, where we're having our Halloween special. And Elwood went and put it all up for our vote, and we're going to be talking about The Wailing, which I'm very excited about because that was one of my favourite films from a couple of years back. I haven't done much writing on my own, but I am continuing doing these articles about Tales from the Dark Side of Asian Cinema. So in the last month, I've put one up about the Korean actresses who sort of bit of a suicide epidemic going on amongst the entertainment industry there. And I will be putting up, so I sort of both narrate it on the podcast and then I do a written article version up at the Asian Cinema own website around the Yakuza and how they may have murdered a critical film director.
Oh, jeez.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm kind of looking for a different way. I've done the film reviews thing. That's got a bit on top of me. There's just films everywhere going in. So I think it'd be kind of interesting just to build up a number of stories. Obviously, Wikipedia's your friend, but you have to hunt other places as well. And I'll probably build up 10 or 20 of these stories as a project over the next 12 months.
Well, very, very cool. I'm definitely excited to check that out. Shit. All right. Well, over at Cinema Recall, the last episode that I've done, I did a retrospect on the Halloween series, gearing up for the recent Halloween reboot that's coming up this weekend. That is really kind of it for right now. I don't know what new episodes are going to be coming up here, but I'm definitely going to be putting a poll back on the site again. Just not quite sure what that's going to be just yet. But as always, please check out past episodes over at thatmomentin.com. I do want to say a big shout out thanks to my guest, Stephen Palmer, Zoe Rose Smith. Thank you so much for coming on here, and we can have fun debating about movies, and we'll do it in a fun, friendly fashion. At the end of the day, it's just movies, and we don't hate each other. Respecting each other's choices on these films, and that's what I love most about it. So big thank you all for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having us, Vern. It's a blast as always.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. It was lots of fun.
All right, and have a good night, everybody. As always, you can check out, we're on Twitter, Cinema Recall's at @cinema_recall. We're on Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall. Email us, we want to hear about suggestions, cinemarecall@gmail.com. And I will say good night to you all. Good night.